Welcome back to the Fantasy Flavor Podcast, where we're spicing up your daily dose of fantasy football content. Join Dylan Thomas, Sanat Ansara, and Trenton Roberts as they provide you with player and team analysis, mock drafts, and one-on-one interviews. Hey, what's going on, fantasy viewers, listeners, YouTube, podcast platforms, welcome here. We're going to be doing our running back rankings part one. These are as of April 26, 2020. If you're on YouTube, you can see the rankings right in front of you. And if you're on podcast platforms, there's a link in the description to take us to the rankings if you want to look at them, okay? So I'm joined here with Sanat and Trenton. How are you both doing?
Good, good. After the shock of the draft, now I'm feeling good.
Oh yeah, I'm doing great. Just finished up draft week. Have had no sleep for the past, seems like, 72 hours, but you know, we're running solid.
Yeah, definitely. I feel that no sleep thing. Stayed up till 5 last night. But more importantly here, let's just jump right into the rankings here. So we all have Clyde Edwards-Helaire at number 1, consensus overall. Jonathan Taylor at number 2. J.K. Dobbins at number 3. DeAndre Swift at number 4, Cam Akers at number 5, and then Keyshawn Vaughn, at number 6. So that'll be who we're talking about here for part 1. Stay tuned for part 2 for the rest of those, but let's just start off. Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Holy crap, he went first round, guys. Did anyone expect that?
He went first running back. I did not expect that. Maybe first round, who knew? He was very good, but you know, first running back over Jonathan Taylor and Swift, that was just a shock.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it was definitely a shock because going into the draft, I had him as my RB5 in the class. So it was really a shock that he went that high, but he went to an offense perfectly fit for him and the Kansas City Chiefs. Personally, I don't have him as my number one running back, which we'll get to that in a second, but
yeah.
I mean, he's in a great fit for his talent. I don't like him as that lead back because he's undersized. I don't think he'll be that workhorse, that true workhorse. I think he'll be more of a split carry guy, but he does have a ton of receiving upside and a very pass-happy offense.
Yeah, undersized as in, yes, he is 5'7 and he is 207 pounds. But the thing is that if you look at the BMI, he's still very thick.
Attaboy, 32.4, baby. I had it written down. My man's thick, okay? So,
yeah, he's a bowling ball. He can you know, push defenders pretty well. And
yeah.
I also read somewhere that Mahomes had this pick. So they told Mahomes, who do you want? And Mahomes picked this guy. So that has to mean something, man. So that's why I was like, no, I mean, I agree with you that Jonathan Taylor is as good as, I mean, they are very, very close, but I feel that we, most of us play in PPR nowadays, and in PPR, Clyde Edwards-Helaire has that, you know, extra, something extra that he can provide that maybe Taylor cannot.
Yeah, that's the first round draft capital matters to me too, because I feel like if he performs, they'll probably take his fifth year option. And that means he has 5 years tethered to Patrick Mahomes. So that's a long time. And they could franchise him too. We see a lot of running backs getting franchised. Or at least Derrick Henry. Or Kenyon Drake transition tagged, of course. So that could be like 6 years tied to Patrick Mahomes. So that might be as long as his career goes. But, you know, I remember Brian Westbrook was kind of the comp Andy Reid gave out. And he had like 90 catches and like 1,300 rushing yards in his prime year. So if CEH is going to be in a better offense than that too. So I think CEH, I mean, he was number 5 for me too, man. But it's just that first round draft capital, I didn't expect it. And I had to adjust my rankings accordingly. And he got the best landing spot. So
he was number 5 for most of them.
Yeah.
You know, only 5% might have him as number 4. But no one has had him number 3.
Yeah.
I can
see.
Definitely. I mean, looking on here next, Jonathan Taylor. I feel like those are the two. I feel like you have very hardcore statistical guys, analytic guys that love Jonathan Taylor because he profiles so similarly to Zeke, minus obviously he's drafted like a round later, which matters, definitely matters. And then you kind of Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who's probably more of like a film guy, kind of like a one-year kind of like wonder where he kind of blew up when the whole LSU offense blew up. So I have to ask Trenton, why is he your RB1, especially in days where we're playing PPR?
Because Trenton is a Colts fan.
Yes, thank you.
Easy answer. Easy answer.
And then boom, and the Colts, he goes, oh my gosh, out of the Taylor. He's like Ezekiel Elliott. And it was all in the Facebook group chat.
No, here's why. Sure, draft capital matters. Draft capital really matters. Mm-hmm. Clyde Edwards-Helaire went first round, so that's huge. But when you look at Jonathan Taylor, he has the high second round draft capital. But you also look at it, the Colts traded up to get him.
Okay.
They wanted him. They are going to use him. Mm-hmm. So there's going to be that volume there. And sure, it's going to be for maybe a year he might split some with Marlon Mack. But he's that workhorse guy, and he's a guy you can give 30 touches a game and a run dominated offense. You know, the Colts offensive line's motto, run the damn ball.
Yeah.
And that offensive line is elite. It's amazing. He's going to be running behind that for years.
Yeah. Adjusted line yards, they were kind of more middle of the pack in run blocking last season. But maybe I do think they're slightly overhyped in that regard. I think they're more better at pass protection than run blocking. It doesn't mean they're a bad offensive line. I'm not saying that. Mm-hmm. But maybe a little overhyped, you know, maybe not one of the best run blocking lines like the Raiders were last season, surprisingly. But I do think he's tethered to a good offensive line. The Colts have seemed to be a really good organization. Another problem I have, though, here is how many catches did Marlon Mack have in 2019? 14. 14 catches. That's bad. You know what I mean? And Jonathan Taylor isn't a natural pass catcher. And Marlon Mack was a really good pass catcher coming out of University of Southern Florida.
He was
a really good. Yes, he was lined up 25% of the time as a wide receiver at USF. Mm-hmm. Okay, so he was a good pass catcher too. He dominated college. You know what I mean? He came out of college. That was one of his things. So I saw that little head nod, but I respectfully disagree. So overall, I mean, the good news is Phillip Rivers, right? He targeted Melvin Gordon, another Wisconsin back who didn't caught even less balls. So maybe, and he trained up Melvin Gordon. Now I think we all can agree Melvin Gordon can be in on third down, right? And can catch passes. So, you know, it's...
I think the Mack thing was mostly about the quarterbacks that they had.
Okay.
Like, you know, Luck also did not throw so much to the running backs. Neither Brissett is just, he is a running guy himself. He just starts running if he doesn't see someone open in the wide receivers. So I think it was mostly because of the quarterback. But
that's fair too. Yeah, that Mack usage kind of surprised me when I read the 14 receptions.
I was very surprised. Yeah.
I mean, what do you think about him? It's not, and honestly, Jonathan Taylor.
See, they are so close that in full PPR, I'm taking Clyde Edwards-Helaire, but in half PPR or standard, I have Jonathan Taylor ahead of him.
That's fair.
So,
I respect that, too. They both have high touchdown upside. CH, super good offense, obviously. Chiefs running backs averaged 1.6 touchdowns per game. So even if he's just a third down back, getting a touchdown a game. And then Taylor, obviously, behind... what I think is going to be a consistently good offensive line. Maybe he won't be top five in run blocking efficiency, but you know, it could definitely be a really good offense there.
Reason was that Clyde Edwards-Helaire is going to provide, I think, immediate production more than Jonathan Taylor. That is what I feel, that this year they are going to use Clyde Edwards-Helaire much more. But you know, Jonathan Taylor might be great from next year onwards.
Yeah, that's true.
And you bring up those touchdown totals, though, and I'm worried about Edwards-Helaire and the touchdown totals. I don't think he really reaches those. I don't think he does that well. He's not a short yardage back, so I think they take him off in goal line. I think he loses. He cedes a lot of. He's going to cede a lot of touches on the goal line to other backs because he is that smaller guy and he's not that great in between the tackles.
I think that's fair to say. He definitely has good vision, but the opportunity so much there that even if he averages a touchdown a game, he might catch like 80 balls his rookie year. So you have 16 touchdowns, 80, you know, receptions too. I don't know how many, even like 1,000 scrimmage yards. That I don't know where that calculate, but that's going to be really good production.
The other thing is that Chiefs really throw a lot near the goal line to their backs. like short mm-hmm. passes to tight ends or backs, and they have a lot of run pass options on goal lines, which is very rare for most other teams.
Yeah, they actually ran the most RPOs last year, I believe. So
yeah,
definitely a lot of work there for him. I feel like we should move on here to another mm-hmm. guy. Speaking of RPOs, the Ravens. Fun fact about the Ravens here from Graham Barfield: they ran the most RPOs. That were actually successfully runs, if you know what I mean. So they kept it a yeah. run, if that makes sense. So Dobbins is our consensus number three. I had Akers above him, and I changed it today after reading that. My one concern with Dobbins was his most elite year was with Justin Fields, who is kind of like Lamar. I think he's a better passer, but it was like the scrambling quarterback, right? The fact that he got an offense where they do that same thing, that's awesome. Sinan should be really happy. I think Dobbins has.
I'm very
Dobbins
happy.
Dobbins could end up being the RB1 in this class when you look back at it.
Could be. So, could
even
be.
Even though I had Akers higher, and I think he's a more well balanced player, I think Akers can play all three downs immediately. I think he's really good. Just Dobbins might take a little bit longer, but man, if he hits, he hits. So if you have multiple kind of like first round draft picks, I feel like maybe you grab a CEH and a Taylor and then maybe pair him up with a Dobbins instead of an Akers, just because you already have that safety of those top two guys.
And Rams have, you know, have been very vocal that they are going to use running back by committee. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is that O-line is still shitty. They did not even address it in the draft.
Yeah. That was embarrassing.
So, I mean, yeah, that was crazy. Mm-hmm. So I don't believe in that rushing offense so much and Baltimore was number one last year. And, you know, they got even better with that running back. The Dobbins is way more talented than Ingram or anyone else in that offense. He is going to take over as soon as this year.
Possible. Dobbins, I think the only reason I have him lower than the top two, I think he can definitely push for one of those guys with talent-wise in landing spot. The only reason is he has the murkiest path to actual touches.
Year one, that's true.
I mean, he has to go through Mark Ingram. So,
and Gus Edwards and Justice Hill.
Once he, and Justice Hill and Gus Edwards. But he has the toughest path to actually getting those touches. But he has a ton of upside once he does. That offense was just the greatest rushing offense, not just of the season, of all time. And, I mean, they run the ball a lot. Sure, they have a quarterback that really helped with that, but they ran the ball a lot, and they were really successful doing it. Plus, Dobbins has a really good receiving upside as well. Mm-hmm. He's a good pass catcher. So he fits pretty well.
Does Lamar pass those backs often? I'm sorry to cut you off, but...
No, not that much.
Yeah, that was... But why I think Akers could slide him out. And you know what? I'm just kind of thinking if we look back on this class, right? I think Akers can be a
touchdowns, man. Touchdowns.
Yeah.
Offense should be really good. He could have so many touchdowns that, you know, not even Taylor or anyone can get even close. Mm-hmm. He could have that many touchdowns.
Mark Ingram, though, is an overrated back as a pass catcher. Justice Hill isn't really that pass catcher. He's that guy that runs out of the backfield and cuts. Gus Edwards definitely isn't a pass catcher. So it's the fact that they didn't have really that pass catching back, that good pass catcher. And Dobbins is that guy. He's a good pass catching back. So I feel like that could change. I feel like they could target their backs more. So we'll have to see where that goes.
Yeah,
though.
He was third in this class in yards created per attempt. Graham Barfield's great stat. Super sticky for running backs coming out. And it was over five. So, you know, he really blew up, especially that last
and
year. Yeah.
I was listening to the Ravens general manager after the draft. And he said that they were not planning on taking a running back this draft. There was no plan at all. But they always stick to the philosophy as a Ravens philosophy, which is that take the best available player. And Dobbins was there, so they had to take him. That's what he said.
Yeah, that could be a little concerning if they don't want to use him. But like they said, it's the best available player. I kind of want to transition here to Akers, though. I think I'm probably the highest on Akers. If I keep flip-flopping him with Dobbins, I feel like you guys are more set on having Dobbins at three and Akers at four. I know we have DeAndre Swift at four, but I just kind of want to ask, overall, do you think Akers can be a workhorse?
Yes, Akers was my number three running back before the draft. I just don't believe in the Rams.
You think the Rams are worse than the Akers. Lions? Or was that because he had Swift higher? You know what I mean?
No.
That's why I'm kind of bringing them all in at once here.
Mm-hmm. No, no, I'm not comparing Akers with Swift because Swift was already higher than Akers before the draft. So that's why he stays. Dobbins passed up Akers because of the landing spot.
Okay, I got you.
And the opportunity.
So Swift here, just let's talk about him here. I've kind of brought it, I kind of sprinkled in Akers
number four
because he's
consensus.
Mm-hmm, he's our number four consensus. I brought him in because he's kind of my number four. Let's hold off on Akers a little bit. I got excited. DeAndre Swift, I think, probably got the worst situation, in my opinion.
I don't think so. I mean, I don't think it's a... I mean, of course, according to his talent, yes. But I don't think Lions is the worst situation because I think...
I meant, he like, takes, out of the top like, five. Least,
yeah. Mm-hmm. I still think he got better than the Rams situation because, there are three backs there. Here, we have only two.
Yeah, true.
And that to carry on, you never know. He will go down any day. So that's why I think he has a path to most number of touches, you know, among Akers and, you know, himself.
Yeah.
So, and he will catch all the passes, I think, there. Mm-hmm. He'll be the third down back for sure.
Kerryon's pretty good, though, there, too. I'm really interested to see how Detroit manages to fuck this up, to be honest.
And I think Henderson is a threat to Akers for passing down.
Whereas
Kerryon is not a threat to Swift for passing down.
Yeah. Well, I do think Kerryon Johnson's probably the most talented, comparing them to Henderson and Malcolm Brown. So that's why I'm a little higher on Dobbins, you know, because I think, and keep in mind, I think Trent mentioned this earlier. So last year, the Rams traded up with no draft capital to grab Henderson, and he wasn't the best. And they took Akers with their first round pick with the needs at offensive line, with the needs at probably a second or third cornerback there in the nickel. Just, you know what I mean? They had so many needs to grab running back first. I think it does speak highly. You know, you kind of talked about how highly Dobbins was spoken of, highly Akers is. Akers reminds me of Miles Sanders, too. So maybe he'll be a committee year one, and then he is a real little raw with the vision. But maybe over time, if he can develop like Sanders did, I don't think the Rams are that bad of an organization. I think they're kind of 8-8, you know, the good old Jeff Fisher mentality. I don't think, you know what I mean? So it's those two are so close to me, though. I'll probably switch all three of those guys a lot. As we hear rumors about, oh, this will be a committee. Oh, they want this guy to be a workhorse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Akers and Swift, for me, are almost interchangeable. Yeah. They're in very similar spots. They are in on a team with an average to below average offensive line. Mm-hmm. And there is a path that is a clear path that I think happens. They go to committees. Both of them will be committees. But the only reason I have Swift over Akers right now is because I think he is the more talented back of the two. However, depending on how the situation goes, if I hear one good thing about Akers or one bad thing about Swift, I could flip-flop immediately. They're both very similar guys. It's depending on who you see more value in.
Yeah. Akers is so well-balanced, too. I feel like he's one of the best pass protectors in this class, too. So, you know, we were talking about Henderson kind of stealing some third down work. I'm interested to see with kind of their bad offensive line, how they value pass blocking. Because maybe if they value pass blocking a lot in that case, maybe Akers is that third. It'll be really cool to see. Akers is fascinating to me because I do think he might have the highest upside as like a raw prospect. Mm-hmm. Keep in mind he played quarterback in high school. So he hasn't had all this experience as a running back, and that might be why he's raw too.
No, I mean, as I said, you know, Akers was my third ranked running back before the draft. Yeah. It's just that, you know, that Rams whole rushing attack, I'm not a fan of. The O-line is very bad. And, you know, the quarterback doesn't help the running back. There are so many difficulties there. And Henderson is there for catching, you know. That's why I feel that Akers will not be able to. And I think he'll be a great buy low next offseason.
Sure. I think I probably have the most faith in Sean McVay then, because remember the Rams O-line was bad when they brought it in. I believe they just signed Whitworth, and they still have Whitworth. So I believe Sean McVay can turn around. Maybe it was just the down year Super Bowl kind of, you know what I mean? All those teams like the Falcons kind of fall. Maybe they'll bounce back.
Speaking of great pass protecting backs, though, I think that the next back on our list is the best pass protecting back in the class.
Yeah, definitely here. And he's a riser. I was probably the highest on him. I don't remember the pre-draft rankings for everybody, but I love Keyshawn Vaughn. I tweeted out mid-college football season. That's my sleeper running back here. He kind of lacks the burst, not a good burst score at the combine, but he does have good 40 speed. So burst is really important to me, kind of the opposite of CEH in that regard here, but he does have that straight line speed. So I like Keyshawn Vaughn here on the box. He's a number six. There's so many factors here, and I was talking to one of my friends, Nick, about it, and I believe he should be in consideration for kind of like a first-round rookie pick. Because, one, I think the drop-off's kind of big after Vaughn, even if he's not in that first tier. Especially if let's say, like, you have, like, the 109 maybe, and then you have a whole bunch of seconds. I'd rather take Vaughn and then let those wide receivers fall, because it's so deep, and running back, I think, falls off, personally.
That's exactly what happened in one of our drafts today. The guy took Vaughn at 109, and I don't hate it.
Yeah.
I think in PPR, he will be great. Brady is going to target him a lot. He's a great pass catcher and a pass protector. Yeah, yeah. So, you know, that's what they want.
Definitely. It's like this, too. Okay, there's so many variables I think show so much upside. One, he was second in yards created per attempt, too. So he created a lot at Vanderbilt. That was a terrible line in itself. Second, Bruce Arians. Right? Bruce Arians running back. And then you get Tom freaking Brady, who loves to check down to his running backs. That's like a match made in, that's like two really big situation positives. So even if you're not high on the talent, Ronald Jones is kind of meh. Ronald Jones is meh. He showed some flashes, but he was meh. And he's not good at pass blocking, and he's not good at catching. So at
heck, he could not even, you know, he could not even set aside Barber. He could not.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean,
and that's my point, too. Mm-hmm. It's just so, like, the situation's so good, even if you don't believe in the talent. I feel like at worst, if Vaughn stays healthy, he's probably like this year's like James White. Like if he's a James White and maybe he could get some goal line touches, he's a good runner too. I think he's more of a speedy guy than like an elusive guy. But like I like Vaughn a lot more than I feel like people are giving him credit for. I think he's a first round pick.
Yeah, I think so too.
I think Vaughn is potentially the safest running back in the class. He has a really high floor in that offense, but it's also a relatively low ceiling. He doesn't have that insane upside. He has a true three down potential. He'll be that guy that'll come in every week and give you a decent amount of yardage, but he's not going to be that guy that's explosive enough, dynamic enough to go and get you 200 yards and three touchdowns. He'll get you around 8. If he becomes that starting lead back, he'll get you around 80 rushing yards, 60 to 80 rushing yards, and a couple catches a week. He'll be that guy that's going to consistently get you that, but he won't absolutely blow up.
I think he'll get you more than a couple catches a game with Tom Brady there if he's used on third down. It could honestly be a committee just because Tom Brady likes committees, but Arians likes workhorses too. And I feel like Arians will kind of combine it, and Arians came out with a quote earlier in the kind of like, I believe it was even February here, but it matters so much because he's like, you know, committees are cool, but having that workhorse there just makes your offense so much more unpredictable. And I think they drafted Vaughn has good size too. I think he's 215, so I think he has more upside just because of the situation. He could end up passing a few of these backs in the total standings, to be honest. Like if we go year one, it wouldn't surprise me if it's like Taylor, CEH. You can flip-flop those, and then it's Vaughn for year one production. He's got the keys to the kingdom.
No, he's very safe. I mean, I will not take him over when you said that safest RB in the class, not over Clyde Edwards-Helaire or Jonathan Taylor, but yes, he is very, very safe. I mean, in the second tier or the third tier, probably, I think, as Dylan said, I totally agree. He's a first-round pick.
Is he a first round pick for you, Trenton? And one, I think we're both talking one quarterback.
One quarterback, yes.
Is he a first round pick
for you? Yeah, he'd be it's potentially a late first.
Yeah, we are talking one late first.
Earliest I consider him is like, honestly, if you have a whole bunch of seconds, I'd still consider him early too. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. No, we are talking mid, right? 109, 110 is not early.
Yeah, that's
not early. That's late.
I mean, like, Yeah, definitely.
That's late, right? The last four picks are called late picks.
Yeah, unless you're in a 14 teamer.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely. And I feel like a strategy I want to implore.
Then everything's a late pick.
Just before we wrap it up here, a strategy I want to implore, though, is even with all top six of these guys, we like all six of them, I feel like. Even Vaughn, who might be a little tier lower, I feel like they're close. I feel like Akers and Vaughn are pretty close, actually, though. So, like, let's say you have a couple seconds in like a first, because I know people are stock picking drafts here. grab a running back first and let the receivers fall to you. The receiver class is so deep. That's my advice for rookie drafts. Do you guys all agree with that?
Totally agree.
Mm-hmm.
So much value in mid-second. I think mid-second is the best place for receivers. I just saw who's that Pittsburgh guy? Claypool. Claypool went like 208 or something like that. I think that's a great pick.
Exactly, because would you rather have like a CeeDee Lamb and like maybe like a Gibson and an AJ Dillon, or would you rather have like a Keyshawn Vaughn and maybe like a, I don't know, like a Denzel Mims and a T. Higgins or something like that, or a Brandon Ayuk?
Exactly.
So that's my advice. Yeah. Make sure these running backs go early in your rookie drafts. Don't be afraid to even grab multiple of them. But thank you guys so much. Check out, tune in once part 2 comes out, and have a fantastic rest of your day. Thank you guys so much for listening to today's episode. Feel free to leave feedback, subscribe, or check out our previous content. And remember, have a fantastic rest of your day.